Welcome to the 190th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and primary care physician living in Southwest Florida. I'm also an endurance athlete, and I just finished the California International Marathon. Woohoo! Yep, we're back from the marathon. It was a great race. If you haven't done the California International Marathon, put it on your calendar. We had a great time. Thank you, Darlene. She is the director of the VIP packages that give you a little extra special treatment. You get a nice dinner beforehand that was vegan, or at least had a lot of vegan options. We had the Kenyan sweet potatoes. When I went to a conference one time before and they asked Kenyans what they typically have. In training, they eat a lot of sweet potatoes. Kenyans also eat a lot of ugali as well as vegetables. So pre-race dinner, they had sweet potatoes. We had a big salad, lots of beets to increase your VO2 or oxygen consumption, dilate your arteries, nitric oxide production. And had a little pasta with some marinara sauce, some mushrooms, vegetables. So it was all good. Sacramento is a great place to travel if you're plant-based. There's lots of great food to eat. There's a great farmer's market that we visited. We started with a ramen noodle house that had some nice vegan sesame-based broth along with spinach and bean sprouts and tofu. And then we made our way to a couple Thai restaurants and again had that pasta there, that pre-race dinner. So food is great in Sacramento. At the farmer's market, we always get some persimmons. They're in season this time of year, and some apples and berries. So they were all good. There's a place that in the farmer's market that does almond milk eggnog, so to speak. I guess eggless nog, you would say. So we always pick up a bottle of that. There's a great place to get some oatmeal. It's a great place to get a few bagels to get ready for the race. So we have our routines for that race down pretty good. It was touch and go for a while with the fires. And the rains came a week before the marathon and cleared out the smoke, put out the remaining fires, so that was good. And air quality was good when we got there. There were actually some racers that came in. They brought them in from Paradise, and they were running to stay California strong because Paradise was the area that really got wiped out with the fires. At the pre-race expo, they had the coordinators, and they asked questions, or I guess they kind of fielded, they kind of brought up some things, and one of the topics was, should we even have the race, because there's been so much devastation in California. And, you know, the race director said, of course, we should have it. One, we want to show our unity as Californians, and the other thing is that the California International Marathon raises quite a bit of money to help, and they get to select the charities, and obviously it'll go to those people in need from the fire. So it actually did some good. So it's always nice to race, and when you can raise a little extra money for local people in need. So that was all good. The race did not go as planned for me. I was hoping to do a lot better. We finished the Ironman in the beginning of October and kind of did a quick taper and then just built back up as best I could. I've been struggling with a little bit of hamstring issues. Not sure exactly the etiology of it is. Probably a little bit of everything. I've been doing weight training and mobility things, but probably pushed a lot of things a little bit further than I should have. So I had some tight hamstrings going into the race. The race morning, the temperature was about 35, 38 degrees. They bus you out, and with a VIP package, you get bussed out on a heated bus, and then when you get out there, there's a heated tent to wait about 45 minutes till the race starts, so that's great. So if anybody's considering it, again, think about the VIP package. So anyway, we got out there and, you know, it was one of those races where I thought I'd see what I have. And what I had was not as much as what I thought I would like to have. I did, you know, spoiler alert, I finished the race. Not near the time. I did break 5 hours, but just barely. So it wasn't near the race I wanted to have. About 7-8 miles into it, I started getting some hamstring tightening that progressed to glute tightening, that progressed to low back tightening, that slowed me down quite a bit. So it became very apparent that I should just enjoy the scenery. And it's a beautiful run in from Folsom. A lot of tree-lined roads and little towns people are out in. Cheering us along, and then you finally get down into Sacramento, and you wind around the Capitol building and finish. So it's a really pretty race. It was very sunny for the day, so even though it was 35, you know, I think it might have got up to 45 by the time we got into Sacramento. It didn't feel too cold. It was fairly dry, and you know, was able to keep moving enough that, you know, I can't say that being cold was ever a factor. So, yeah, it wasn't the race I wanted, but again, finished. Yeah, shout out to Michael Hubbard for qualifying for the Boston Marathon. Really proud of him. He did a great job. So planned strong. He had a giant plate of beets and sweet potatoes before the race and the race dinner the night before. So a lot of hard work and training and a few beets paid off. So that was great. So, you know, yay for the Plant Strong runners. We were able to share our message of plant-based running with people in the pre-race dinner a little bit this year, and hopefully next year I might even get to be able to speak there, because I think it's so important for athletes to realize that nutrition is actually, you know, a huge part of success with, you know, race goal accomplishments and being healthy in years to come. We sat with a gentleman and his significant other, and he was racing at age 70. And he sat down and shared with us that he had an aneurysm diagnosed, and he wasn't sure if he was going to be able to run, but decided to anyway, and how his doctors had put him on blood pressure medications, but that made him feel really bad. But he had, you know, kept training, and his blood pressure went down. He was running about 10 miles a day. Unfortunately, when he sat down, he had a boiled egg on his plate. They had eggs on the buffet line, you know, that proverbial sort of protein. And when he sat down, Michael said, and he started telling us about his aneurysm, he said, "You might not want to eat those eggs." And he's like, "What?" And, you know, one thing led to another. And, you know, I was introduced as the plant-based cardiologist, and we started talking. And they had no idea, you know, that eggs weren't good for you, and they weren't a good source of protein or a good snack, because they were relatively low in calories but high in protein. And you know, so we talked about that. They didn't know anything about, you know, beets as far as being vasodilators and the nitric oxide production. So we talked about that a little bit. And, you know, I think it's really important, you know, not only for the young runner that wants to maximize performance and improve recovery, but especially for older runners. You know, this guy, you know, obviously had some health issues. And even though he ran, you know, he was thin and he ran 10 miles a day, you know, he's still at risk for cardiovascular events. If you have an aneurysm, he's got vascular disease everywhere. Good news is he did make it through the marathon. He didn't make it through as fast as he wanted either. But he made it to the end of the race, you know, alive and in no worse health than what he started. I think, you know, when we see these reports on atrial fibrillation being elevated in people with that are marathon runners or ultra runners, or how, you know, we have some troponin damage with prolonged running, I think about people like him that are, you know, eating, you know, what they want, and because they're thin, they don't think about it. And, you know, I don't think you can outrun what your nutrition is. So it's really important to, you know, if you want to have a longevity as far as endurance, events that you should, you know, eat healthy and, you know, mainly plants, if not 100% plants. You know, I've been talking about my strength training and my mobility practice with the training for the marathon and the Ironman beforehand. And, you know, it's a little bit disappointing when, you know, despite all that, I have, you know, I'm not up to par. I've got, I don't think I'm necessarily injured, but I have, you know, obviously some inflammation and some imbalances perhaps going on. It's frustrating that, you know, you feel like you're doing most of the right things, but yet it's not working out the way you would like it. I think there's, you know, this multifactorial, and it's one of the things that I like best about the marathon and training for endurance events, and that it is somewhat of a puzzle, and that what works for one race may not work for another race. And, you know, you put all your eggs in the basket for these, you know, big events, and sometimes it's just not your day. And, you know, things go wrong, and you kind of have to deal with it. If I look back, you know, one of the things that I was trying to do was trying to work on a front split, and that kind of pulls your hamstrings a little bit. We did the ultra in California in April, and it was a really hilly race, much hiller than I've ever run any kind of distance on before, being a Florida flatlander. And, you know, things got tight after that race, and I really didn't let them settle down. Kind of started right into triathlon training when we got back. The weight training was more intense than I've ever done weight training before, 3 days a week, and about an hour to an hour and 15-minute sessions. And I was lifting in a pretty heavy weights. I never felt anything pull or give, and I actually wasn't sore after the weight workouts. I might have been a little tight, but not anything that I was like, oh my goodness, I had this terrible weight workout. So I don't think I tweaked anything actually doing the weight training. One of the, you know, the things that, you know, I didn't give good feedback to my strength and conditioning coach about some things. I let, you know, Russian deadlifts started to bother my hamstrings more than I kind of let on, and I kept doing increasing weights, and I should have told him that that was bothering. I did back off some, but, you know, I kind of used the weight training as, well, I need, if it's hurting, then I need to do it to make it stronger. And that's probably wasn't in my best interest. My mobility and stretching before the Ironman was better than it was afterwards, but not as good as it should be, most likely. So, I think that, you know, in the future, I need to focus on some of these weak areas and pay more attention and spend more time with the stretching and mobility routines. I felt very strong as far as my quads, quadricep muscles, you know, better each time, better. It was better in the Ironman, and it was again better in this marathon. So I think, you know, I'm making some strides there, but it's just a matter of getting everything, balanced out like it should be. So, you know, there's more work to do. I'm a little disappointed, but certainly not throwing in the towel as far as, you know, what I want to do next. I just think that I, you know, maybe need to be a little bit smarter about the mobility part of things and the stretching part of things, and to get that, pay a little bit more attention to that, and maybe back off on the weight training when things are really, really tight. But then we're going to, you know, address these weak issues. Obviously, my hamstrings still need more work. My hip flexors still need more work. Low back always, you know, probably needs more work in the way things fire. So it's a really good challenge to, you know, kind of figure yourself out and how you can make things better. So I'm all good for that, and we'll keep going on. I'm probably going to start weight training again next week. I'm taking the rest of this week off. Sunday, I'm going to run a half marathon, the holiday half, something we do before we go get our Christmas tree. So it's kind of a crazy routine, but that's how it's turned out to be. So we run a holiday half, wear some elf ears, and then go get a Christmas tree. So that's all good. And then we won't race again until February. So I have some time to kind of stretch and figure things out. There may be a race in January. I don't know. But, you know, for the most part, it should be February. So that's the news that I have for, you know, the running front of things. I need to get back in the pool now that this race is over. So I'll probably swim once a week just to keep things stretched out. I'm not a fan of swimming in cold water or when it's cold outside. But, you know, it's really not that bad here in Florida. We have had a few cold days here lately, but it usually doesn't stay around. As for the backyard gardening, it's going great. Getting a little bit of rain. We have great eggplants that are producing. Peppers are starting to produce. Tomatoes are starting to produce. So that's all real exciting. I have a couple cucumber plants that are starting to produce. Broccoli and Napa cabbage are coming along. So it's a pretty time of year. We even have one mango tree that's flowering. So that's a great thing to have to be able to get to watch. So it's a good time of year to be gardening in Florida. I'm sorry for all you people up there in the north, but it's a great time to be a Floridian. So while we suffered with the heat, now we're reaping the benefits. So how are you going to get through the holidays? Are you going to just go off the wagon and resume your plant-based nutrition after the holidays? And whenever that ends, so it may have started Thanksgiving and working its way through Christmas and then the New Year. Do you have a plan? You know, are you going to parties? Are you selective about the parties that you're going to go to? How do you deal with people that are coming over to your house? How do you deal with gifts that you give people? Working in the hospital, you know, in years past, the nurses' floors would be filled with, you know, those big tins of the shortbread cookies and all different kinds of cookies and candy, and everybody thought they were doing a great favor to people that had to work during the holidays by having all these sweets around. You know, it's as simple if you go to Sam's or Costco's, you know, it's lined up with those, you know, towers of chocolates and towers of cookies and towers of nuts. And, you know, Target has, you know, walls and walls of lined shelves with all kinds of treats and sweet desserts. You know, it's hard to get away from all of it. So what are you going to do? You know, what do you give the garbage man? What do you give the postman? What do you give, you know, if you do things for people, you know, do you buy them things that you wouldn't eat? Do you re-gift things that you're given that you wouldn't eat? These are all significant questions, that add up. First of all, you know, people that go off the so-called wagon for the holidays, typically go off the wagon for just about everything. So they go off the wagon for their birthday. They go off their wagon for Thanksgiving, you know, Easter, St. Patrick's Day, somebody else's birthday, you know. So if you really count it out, there should be a Strava app. You know, I don't know if people are out there that do endurance athletes, there's an app called Strava that, you know, you can upload your daily walks, runs, bikes, swims, and it'll give you a readout if you were active, you know, so many days for the month, so many days for the year, and how so many hours during this and that. There should be a Strava app for how many days were you off the wagon. Because I think people would be surprised, you know, at how many days that they just say, oh, we just won't care about this. We're on vacation. We're on a cruise. You know, it's a holiday. We were at my relative's house. My relatives were here. So it gets very tricky, and I think that a lot of people fool themselves as to how much that they truly are plant-based. Everybody remembers the things that they've maybe done a little bit better, and that's great. I think you should keep track of those things. You know, this year you may have, you know, eaten more meals that are plant-based. You may have, you know, really nailed breakfast and nailed lunch. But dinner's still a problem. And I think sometimes people don't see the results that they could because the negative things kind of overshadow the positive things, even though they only remember the positive things. So I think the best idea is to have a game plan, you know, and start out, you know, with your Christmas shopping. You know, what kind of gifts are you going to give to people? I heard someone, you know, mention that they, you know, were going to a party that they go to every year, and somebody bakes, you know, like 500 cookies, and everybody gets, you know, a box of cookies so they can try every different one, and there's cookies exchanges. I've participated in them in years gone by. You know, cookies are made with, people think of them as being sugar, but they're probably worse as far as the fat and the oil that they contain. You know, they most definitely contain butter, and, some sort of nuts, and, then, you know, the sugar on top of it, perhaps eggs even on top of that. So, there's really no good way around that. I think that if you are somebody that has given up eggs, you have to realize that most of these cookies, if not all of them, unless they're labeled vegan, are going to have the eggs. And then the question of oil, it's almost impossible to make a crunchy cookie that has no oil in it. So if you see something like that, whether it's vegan or not, it's going to be really oily. So, you know, you can either, you know, if you're not eating eggs, then, you know, most of the pastries are out unless somebody, you know, labels something vegan. The question is, what do you do for other people? Do you participate in the tins? You know, my suggestion for people that want to bring stuff to hospitals or workplaces is to bring a big veggie tray. I think being creative is a lot better than just doing something to do something. So, you know, making a snowman out of cauliflower and olives and carrots, or a Christmas tree or a wreath. You know, there's lots of things online that you can kind of follow a pattern to make, you know, fruit trays and veggie trays that are, you know, shaped, you know, for the holidays is a great idea, and it showed some ingenuity. You know, you can even go along the lines of the, you know, the edible arrangements and do something like they do, and, you know, make a snowman or something out of fruit or whatever's in season where you live. I think it's a good idea to introduce people to new fruits during the holidays. So if you live in a place, you know, like in Florida where we have papaya and pineapple, it's kind of fun to do fruit trays that have fruit that people don't usually eat. I hear people saying, you know, they eat apple and banana and grapes every day. Well, you know, let's step your game up a little bit. You know, let's do mango and papaya and, you know, maybe some sapodillas and different kind of fruits so that people have a chance to change, you know, try something a little bit different. If you're hosting a party, chances are somebody at your party has high blood pressure or high cholesterol or diabetes. So why would you want to feed them sugary, salty food that's just going to make them more ill, even if they haven't changed to being plant-based? So one way around that is to just make good hors d'oeuvres. So we do some palma tomatoes or the plum tomatoes and stuff them with hummus. You can stuff white potatoes with the hummus, stuff mushroom caps, vegan sushi, you know, a tomato caprese with basil and onions and tomato and vinegar. You can do a spinach dip with spinach and tofu. So there's all kinds of variations on the theme for Christmas parties that are plant-based that nobody's really going to know the difference. You know, potato salads, pasta salads, they don't have to have any meat in them. They don't have to have any oil in them. People don't know. You know, our bok choy salad that has pomegranates and mandarin oranges and a lemon dressing is a very festive salad. You know, cowboy caviar is always a festive-looking salad. We do a quinoa dish that has cranberries and sweet potatoes and kale that's, again, very colorful. So those are all good dishes that people really like. You can make meatless meatballs to have as hors d'oeuvres. So you just have to think outside the box just a little bit, especially if you're entertaining, to pull this off. And again, I think it would be very well received when you go to somebody's house if you bring your plant-based dish and it tastes good and it looks good and it's pretty So, you know, be brave and do that. And that way you can stay on the wagon and still enjoy being around people and entertaining people. I think it's also, you know, it's a nice gift for people if you make them something that is actually healthy. So they can enjoy some healthy food and might just benefit from them as opposed to contribute to somebody's decline while they're eating the standard American diet and then, you know, going one step further and having even worse food over the holidays. The holiday season is also a time that's mentally tough for a lot of people. It's a time we kind of think of those who passed or things that aren't going quite right. We reflect upon the year in the, you know, in the rear, whether you've had health issues, whether somebody you know's had health issues. And it can be very difficult because not only do we start thinking about those things, then there's so much more pressure to do all these different things on the holiday. You can't get everything done. And you feel the world tumbling down. There can be financial pressures. Eating poorly during this time is not going to help any of this at all. In fact, we know it makes things worse when you have inflammation in your body. You know, it also triggers an inflammation in your brain. These sugary, simple sugars, white sugars, are known inflammatory triggers to the brain itself. So it's going to cause mental fogging, lack of clarity, promote dementia in people that are already struggling. When people don't get their omega-3 fatty acids, then they, often don't go on to produce things like serotonin and dopamine as they should. So by eating a healthful diet, you're actually triggering your body to produce more good-feeling hormones. So, it all works out in the end. People think that they kind of need the comfort food or they're eating out of stress, but the reality of it is, that stressful eating is just causing more stress on their body. In class, we look at the garage that has, the metabolic waste, and you can really fill that garage with a lot of metabolic waste over the Christmas and holiday season. So, kind of think about that a little bit before you just pull the trigger and say, oh, I just don't care. We'll take it up after the holidays. It's also important to keep your exercise going, for a positive mental attitude, to get over some of the stress, to get your exercise in every day. Again, the new recommendations are out. And, we know that studies have shown, what your VO2 max is or your ability to uptake oxygen in midlife is a strong predictor of not only your lifespan, but also of your health span. So it's important to keep training through the holidays. If it comes down to it that, maybe you've missed a session or two from traveling, make sure you're parking far away from the store that you're going in. This is a great time to carry your groceries and packages a little bit further to help, get a little strength training in. Take a walk after dinner or before dinner, get up a little extra early to do some weight training. It's going to make you feel good, even if you have some of those slip-ups at some of these holiday parties. At least, you're not slipping up in every direction.
When you go to holiday parties, they're oftentimes there are a lot of prepared food, the little hot dogs, cheese plates, a lot of processed things that also may have and breaded things. So there may be a lot of genetically modified organism foods in some of these things, prepared foods, anything that has soybean oil, canola oil in it, which, all the crackers that people have out during the holidays. So, it's also a time of the year we can get a tremendous amount of toxins in. So, if you can look at some of those trays as toxins first and treats as second, it's a better way around it. And if you're looking for a gift to buy your family or friends, remember that we have our conference March 30th, this 2019, and Dr. Alan Goldhammer from True North Health will be joining Addie Delaney Meinrich and myself, as well as Nathan Meinrich, and we're going to have a full day of lectures on wellness, plant-based nutrition, strength and conditioning and training, an opportunity and an intimate setting to ask, you know, questions that you'd like to get answered, time with each of the speakers, question and answer session. We'll also have a cooking demo and promise a great breakfast and lunch that is fully plant-based, no sugar, salt, or oil added. And it's a great way to be with positive, like-minded people. It's nice to be around, you know, you don't have to answer the questions for a whole day of why, you know, where do you get your protein or where do you get your calcium? And you can learn, you know, some secrets and some new innovations that to help you improve your health span and lifespan. So I'll put a link in the show notes. You can go to our website to click on the link to take you to Eventbrite or eventbrite.com to look for the 4th annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Nutrition Conference. As always, we'd love to hear from you. You can email me at jamie@drdelaney.com. Visit the website. You can sign up for the blog. You can sign up to get newsletters. You can sign up for the podcast, and you can get your tickets to the conference. If you'd like some support jump-starting your plant-based nutrition, we have online packages available, both to speak just to Addie, our registered dietitian, or both of us on a monthly basis. You have unlimited emails to both of us, as well as newsletters, recipes, access to our members-only site with lots of recipes and information to help you to stay true and stay on the wagon through this holiday season. Exciting times are ahead in the new year. I have an interview with Ocean Robbins that's going to talk about his new book. In the next couple of weeks, I hope to have Dr. Mark Cucuzella, who is a excellent endurance athlete, as well as an Air Force physician. He's now in the Air Force Reserves, has a private practice in West Virginia, but he does a lot of wellness and training people to run at any age. So I look forward to having him to discuss his new book in the next couple of weeks as well. We have a step challenge going on in the office this week to see, or I'm sorry, the office this month to see if our members can get more steps for the month of December than they did in the fall step challenge. Signed up for, again, a half marathon this coming weekend and then a race in February and perhaps a race in January. I encourage everybody to sign up for something in the next couple of months so that they can get something on the calendar so they can get start training for something. So whether it's a 5K, 10K race or a swim or some sort of event, if you sign up for an event that you know you have to train for, you have a better chance at completing it. You can find me on Facebook at Jamila Delaney as well as Instagram. I'd like to hear from you as what you're training for and how you know your plant-based nutrition is going as well. And again, if you have any questions, please email me. Until next time, have a great week and keep moving and keep eating plants strong.